Father, the reason that we are here, the reason that we come here on a Sunday morning, the reason that we want to open your word is because we want to know you more. We want to praise you more. We want to love you more. The reason we are here is Jesus. Jesus has come and displayed what it's like for us to love other people and love our Father. And so, Lord, this morning as we get into the topic of fasting, may we reflect, possibly be challenged, be encouraged, and see what fasting is and what your word has to say about it. So, Lord, we give you all the glory for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So firstly, I want to welcome all of you, especially some of you who possibly haven't been here at all for this current sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount. For those of you who have been with us or even are familiar a little bit with the Sermon on the Mount, we're looking at the Gospel of Matthew. That's the first book in the New Testament, chapters 5 through to 7. And the text we're going to be going through today is Matthew 6, 16 to 18. So if you want to get that ready, if you don't have a Bible, there should be one in front of you. Or as I'd like to say, I'm sure the person beside you would love to share with you as well. We've been going through this series on the Sermon on the Mount, looking at what Jesus is saying. It is the Jesus way. And if you look into the beginnings of the sermon, we see Jesus taking things from the Old Testament, saying things like, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." Jesus is showing us what life looks like for the people of God when Jesus is ruling and reigning in your life. Jesus is displaying what he said he would display. In Matthew 4, 17, he says this, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." You see, the rule and reign of Jesus has come. And for those of us who have trusted in Jesus for our only source of salvation, we are to display the life of the kingdom wherever we are and whatever we are doing. This means that the words of Jesus, which we'll look at soon, shown in the text we will go over today, are not just mere words that have been passed down to generation upon generation. These are the words of our Savior who understands how humans operate and what we need to know above everything. Jesus understands and cares deeply for his people, knowing what will hinder them and, above all, what will give them the most satisfaction. Now, this morning's message, as you've seen in the bulletin and as Phil mentioned a little while ago, is on the topic of fasting. Before we get into fasting, I want to ask one question to all of you. What satisfies you? What satisfies you? Now, firstly, what comes to mind for myself is a nice, juicy cheeseburger and fries. Now, I was thinking about putting a picture behind me of the cheeseburger, but that might have distracted all of you from the entire message, so I wasn't gonna do that. But I love a cheeseburger, eating a cheeseburger, watching videos of things like a hot knife going through butter, seeing a basketball go through the basket. I get satisfaction from watching these things and eating these things. And I don't think I'm alone in that. God created us to have the ability and enjoy the ability to be satisfied. I believe God wants us to be happy, to be satisfied, and yet the reality for so many of us who claim to be Christians is that we aren't satisfied. Some days we feel so far from satisfaction and happiness that it starts to rub off on others. But what if the question this morning and for your life wasn't how much satisfaction can we get, but rather where are we looking to get satisfied? Where are we looking to get satisfied? That brings us to our main passage this morning, Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18. Jesus says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." And for those of you who might be a little familiar with Matthew, especially chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, these words that we read right here might seem a little familiar to you. They might seem a lot like the beginning of the chapter, as Jesus talks about giving, and of course with prayer. Now Jesus maintains that the expectation of the Christ follower is to fast. Notice the word, "and when you fast." Now, just like giving that we saw a few weeks ago, just like prayer that we spent a few weeks on, to follow Jesus means that you should fast. The assumption is that you will fast, and yet I wonder how many of us have actually taken up the practice of fasting. For those of you who are unfamiliar with fasting or are new to the faith or are just here visiting, fasting is about taking a time or period in your life where you deprive yourself of something in the world so that ultimately you can get what will ultimately satisfy you. We'll get to more of that later. However, there's something interesting about this, even this first verse in verse 16. You see, in past weeks, as we talked about prayer and giving, many of us, we have no problem with those things. We know that if you are a Christian, a follower of Jesus, one should pray. One should give. These are no-brainers, and yet, when it comes to fasting, the challenge for many of us is that it has no part in our natural rhythms of a follower of Christ. And I think there's a couple reasons for that, which we'll get into later. But for now, think about this. If fasting isn't a part of your natural rhythms, isn't a part of your life as a Christian, ask yourself why that is. And if you're not a Christian this morning, think about fasting. What is the purpose of fasting? What are we actually trying to do? See, Jesus continues by using familiar words in verse 16, like hypocrites. "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." So what do the hypocrites do? They disfigure their face to show others that they are fasting. You see, the temptation with a lot of things, and especially here, the temptation with fasting, the temptation we have, that we say we will fast from worldly pleasures or other things, is that it can get twisted into a badge of honor, a badge of pride. Like the external checklist of righteousness you have the temptation to have. On your list, did you give? I gave. Check. Did I pray today? Check. I fasted? Check. This is, of course, what Jesus is not talking about. When we fast, like anything we do, it is a reflection of what God has done for us, which he has shown us how we can forever be satisfied in a world with opportunities for temporary satisfaction. God sent Jesus not just to be Savior or Lord. He sent Jesus to die for sinners so that those sinners can experience a joy unlike anything they could ever experience in this world. Fasting is a discipline that reminds us of our hunger for a greater thing. It's a discipline that reminds us how this world will never satisfy, reminds us that no person in this world will ever satisfy, both family and friends. It reminds us that simply even just doing good things will not satisfy. Fasting reminds us that only Jesus will satisfy the hunger and thirst that you have. And yet, I think in one way, fasting gives a lot of confusion. It doesn't make sense. 1 Timothy 4:1-3 says that we should be weary of people who say that we should require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So in one way, I don't like to talk about fasting, simply because there are things in my life that I enjoy so much. One of my favorite things is to be at the table, having a great meal with family and friends. being together with friends and watching a good basketball game or a hockey game. I enjoy the blessings that God has given me, and yet, as we will see soon, as Jesus talks about fasting, these things aren't evil. Food isn't evil, watching TV isn't evil, going on the internet isn't necessarily evil. When we get confused about fasting because we know these things. We know that Jesus created food, for example, as the 1 Timothy verse said, to be received by thanksgiving. In fact, all of these things, food, even watching a good game, can be great instruments, great ways, methods to show the gospel through our words and deeds. Having someone over for that big game can be how we disciple people. Discipling our own families, sitting at the dinner table with a good meal. Having friends over for a game or a meal or something can be a great way of creating relationships that eventually can be a point of sharing the gospel over. None of these things are evil, and yet, because we live in a fallen world, these things can distract us from what is most important. As we continue on in this passage, we see verse 17. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. Verse 18, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, as I've said before, we need to look into the original context of the text. And to the original context of the Jewish people hearing this, they understood the temptation and the tension that fasting has behind the motives of fasting. On Yom Kippur, which is known as the holiest day for the Jewish people, one would be allowed to wash a little bit, wash your face a little bit. However, as Rabbi Barney Kasdan says in his commentary on the Gospel of Matthew, as you can see in your sermon notes, it may be tempting for some to maximize their outward religious appearance. It may be tempting for some to maximize their outward religious appearance. For these people, they knew that fasting was an important and vital part of their lives during times of remembrance and focus. However, Jesus, like he has been doing throughout the whole Sermon on the Mount, reminds the people of that time, as well as us here, February 2019, that the motive behind the activity is more important than the result of that activity. Why you give is more important than how much you give. Why you pray is more important than the words you pray, and why you fast is more important than what you fast from. And those who fast to be seen by others get their reward in full. That's what we see here. A temporary reward, of course. The applause of people. Like the actors in the play, the hypocrites who are doing these acts will get the applause of their audience. But as we see here, no reward from their Father in heaven. No reward from God. Now, on a personal level, some of the deeper and greater times I have had in my Christian life were times where I fasted, where I intentionally fasted from something, whether it was social media, as we have an abundance of today, TV, junk food, internet. When I have fasted, I have encountered a God who was there the whole time, a God who was there when I was distracted by the world. He was drawing me to himself through his word and his presence in my life. Now, next week, if you look into the Gospel of Matthew, we'll be looking into treasuring God above all things, including his promises and his gospel message. Not his provisions or his blessings, but God, and why that's vital in our lives. Now, today, as we've seen, I think fasting is actually a really good transition into next week. Understanding that Jesus commands us to fast because he knows that it is good for us. Too many times we may see something like fasting and see it as something that we should do, but we don't really believe it's good for us. Why would I fast from something? Maybe we know we should spend less time on the internet, but then we make excuses on why we need the internet. We know we should be watching less TV, and yet we make excuses that we need to watch that big game that's coming up on Sunday. We know we should be eating less of something, perhaps. We know we should be fasting because we need to look to God, to Jesus, for our satisfaction. And yet the pleasures of the world are right on our doorstep and today, even more literally today, at our fingertips. The purpose of fasting is not to deprive us of the blessings of God, but rather to remind us of where they came from and how our ultimate satisfaction can only come from the origin of those things. God shown in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit is the only thing that can ever satisfy. And we see fasting throughout the whole Bible. Psalm 34, verse 8, one of my favorites, says that we are to taste and see that the Lord is good. As we've seen already, food isn't evil. And yet, in our fallen world, the blessings that God has given us have twisted meanings of pleasure. To the extent that we want to overindulge in the things of the world, even when, as Christians, we know that we can be satisfied in Jesus. We need to fast because we want to know God more than anything else in the world. We fast because we want to taste and see that the Lord is good, more than tasting and seeing that the things of the world are good. Only God is good, and fasting reminds us of that. Fasting is more about the heart than the stomach. It isn't about taking a week or a month to stop eating those chips. It isn't about taking time to get off the internet. It's about understanding our need for Jesus. The scripture reading that was read this morning, Matthew 9, this morning, it tells us about this. See, the disciples of Jesus didn't fast when Jesus was with them. But as Jesus says, when he will be gone, then they will fast. See, the purpose of fasting is not to lose weight or to watch less TV. The purpose of fasting is to get more and more and more of Jesus and less of the world. So if the question for you is, should you fast? I don't think the question shouldn't be that. It should be, do you want more of Jesus? Do you want more Jesus in your life? And if so, what areas in your life are distracting you from him and focusing more of your attention on the creation rather than the Creator? Sometimes it's the creations, the blessings of God that distract us from the Creator. Now, for those of you who know our daughter Abigail, when you see her walking around, you probably see her blanket right along with her. Usually she's sucking her thumb. The chances are that you see her blanket. This blanket, Rebecca and I joke, is her life support system. Without it, she feels like something is missing. At times, it's like her blanket and her are one flesh. But one of the interesting things about this blanket is that the times that she is upset, the times that she is crying, is that she wants the blanket and not necessarily the one who created the blanket. Yes, she eventually will want a hug, maybe some cuddles from one of us. But firstly, and sometimes only, she'll want the creation more than the Creator. Are we not the same sometimes? Are we not the same sometimes? Do we, in our chase for satisfaction, go towards the creations more than the Creator? Do we go for the feelings of that juicy cheeseburger and fries in our mouths, and not the ultimate satisfaction of being with Jesus? C.S. Lewis once said this, "If I find in myself desires which nothing in the world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world." Fasting reminds us of what is important. It reminds us of what is distracting us from God. Fasting reminds us that the commands of God are not commands to frustrate us, but rather things that are for our good. Whenever God commands for us to do something, it is for our good, because he knows that we are prone to wander, prone to look for satisfaction in the things of the world, when ultimately we will only find it in Jesus, who lived a life we could never live, took our place on the cross, and rose, displaying the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit that now dwells in us as his people. Fasting is not taking a break from those chips you love to eat, so that you once can go have a fasting time and go back right to those trips. Fasting is about understanding your hunger for God. John Piper, in his book, A Hunger for God, says this: the greatest enemy of hunger for God is not poison, but apple pie. It is not the banquet of the wicked that dulls our appetite for heaven, but endless nibbling at the table of the world. So have you been nibbling at the world for too long? Your answer to that question may give you insight to what fasting will look like for you. Have you been nibbling at the table of the world for too long? Jesus makes it clear that he expects his followers to fast so that all of the glory goes to God. We aren't to fast to display some sort of external righteousness, like a religious mask that covers our bodies so that people can see that we are fasting. We are to fast to display the glory of God, who sent his Son, the bread of life, the water that will never make you thirst again. Psalm 23:1, a familiar verse for many of us, possibly a verse that many of us growing up in the church have memorized, says this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How beautiful is this verse? Because he is our shepherd, this is Jesus, the one who guides us, loves us for his name's sake, is the reason we shall not want. All of our desires, all of our wants, all of our needs can be satisfied in our Lord. The deepest needs of our soul, our heart, are satisfied in the Lord. Now, could we ever have a better gift than that, a better gift than Jesus? Could we ever ask for a more beautiful gift than God saving us based on nothing we have done, but rather purely on his great love for us, being rich in mercy, making us alive with Christ? Is there anything more satisfying than that? If you find yourself not satisfied with the things of the world, there's a reason for that. You won't find it. Anything in the world, you won't find it. You won't find a cheeseburger in the world, a person in the world, or even an event in the world that you participate in that would ever satisfy you like you can be satisfied in Christ. Jesus is the answer to the question I asked at the beginning. What will satisfy you? Jesus. Only Jesus. Jesus is the answer to everything, as I've said many times. And when you receive Jesus, you understand how deeply satisfying he is. Treasuring him above everything, as we'll get into next week. Boasting in him, telling others about him, making your life a display of what Jesus has done in your life. As Jeff Anderstelt said in his book, Saturate, live your life like it would demand a Jesus explanation. Live your life like it would demand a Jesus explanation. That includes fasting. Fast from the things of the world to get more of Jesus. And through your actions, tell people about Jesus. Live as though nothing could ever satisfy except Jesus. If somebody asks you why you should fast, why you are fasting, simply say, because I want more of Jesus. I want more of Jesus. Jesus is the answer, and he must be the answer to everything we do as we strive to make disciples and as we strive to glorify God through recognizing who he is, what he has done through Jesus, and who we are because of him. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for what you have shown to us. We hunger for you. We know we can only be satisfied in you, and yet we nibble at the table of the world many times, perhaps for too long. Forgive us for that. May we come to you, keeping our eyes on you, perfecter and founder of our faith. We love you. We want to give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.